called the army of what? The army of God. And in every army, there's a leader. And in our particular case, the leader of the army of God was the first one to give his life. So it's just fitting that today, you know, we honor our Christ and our Lord, Jesus, because he is the first soldier in this battle to die for this cause. And we are grateful, and we will never forget what he did, along with all the other soldiers that have served, that have been a blessing to us. Last week, we taught on healing. And we're going to teach on healing again today, and next week, we will move on. You know, God, the title of the message is Holy Communion, God's Provision for Health and Wholeness. And as we get started this morning, I want you to understand, communion is one of God's provision for divine health. And next to being saved, in my opinion, divine health or living in health is the next best thing. Because, you know, you can live in the provisions of God and have all the money that you want, but if you're sick and can't enjoy any of it, what good is it? And that's why I believe that health is the greatest blessing we can have on this earth. And so without it, there's no way we can enjoy all the blessings of God. Now, your insert today is a little different. It may look the same to you, but it is not. And if you're watching us live, if you participate in our app called Band, B-A-N-D, that has anything to do with playing instruments, it is an application that we use to... Go ahead and put the Band logo on the screen, please. The Band app is something we use to communicate as a church together, to keep our family together. And so it is just an app. But we do upload these notes to the Band app on the calendar. So if you go to today's date, there's two attachments. The first one would be, you know, the first and then the second, because there's four pages of notes today. Now, communion is one of the ways God heals. And so what I've done is I made this specific one. We will keep it, and we will pass it out to people that want to know about communion, because I made it in such a way where if you'll go through it, and on the back, I've written down the prayers, I've written down the procedure, I've written down what you need to do to go through communion. And some people, you'll need to do a communion every day, and there's nothing wrong with that, because you need to retrain your mind, because we need to renew our minds to what the Word of God says. So if you turn to page one, number one of your insert, it says, you will find that when Jesus walked the earth, most of his miracles were in the area of healing. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who?
The devil.
For God was with him. He did not walk on water all the time. He did not calm the seas all the time, but he healed all the time. As we discussed last week, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land, he made sure that none of them were sick. Psalms 105:37 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. So Bible scholars estimate there was between 2.5 and 3 million Israelites who left Egypt healed, healthy, whole, and rich. And that was and still is God's will for us, for his people today, to be all healed, all healthy, and all whole. Number two on your insert. So if it is God's nature to heal, have you ever wondered why so many Christians are sick? And I don't necessarily mean with a cold or allergies or something. I'm talking about life-threatening diseases. Now, if people of the world are sick, well, we understand that. They don't have a covenant with Jesus Christ to keep them well. But when believers are sick, I want to know why. And I don't want to draw from my own conclusions. I don't want to draw from my own human experience. I want answers from God's Word. Because every problem you're going to have in life, there is an answer for it in the Word of God. So you might be surprised to know that the Bible gives only one reason Christians are weak and sick and die prematurely. One reason. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:29 through 30, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, we'll talk about that in a minute, eats and drinks judgment to himself. Don't freak out about that. not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, meaning they are dead. Paul said, for this reason. He did not say, for these reasons. He said, for this reason. Now, communion is one of these ways. He said, put that verse back up on the screen for me, if you would. Okay, so he said, not discerning the Lord's body for this reason. So in communion, we talk about the blood and the body. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that today. But understand, God set up a system of prosperity, right? It's called what? Sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. God set up a system for wisdom. In James, what did he say? Ask for wisdom and you'll get it. He set up a system for a peace of mind. He set up a system for this, for this, for this. And typically there's like one way. Healing, God made all kinds of ways. You know, call for the elders of the church, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Anoint with oil, aprons, napkins, miracles, again, laying on of hands, communion. He made all of these ways of healing so that if you couldn't get it one way, you could get it another. And there's nothing else in the Bible that he made so many different versions of to make sure we could participate. But they all come down to one thing, which we'll explain, but they all come down to this one thing, not discerning the Lord's body, because the Bible is very specific. How are we healed? By the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. Okay? So if you don't discern the Lord's body in one of these forms or another, you don't accept what Jesus did before the cross, the beatings, the lashes, all the things he did. If you don't discern that, meaning you don't accept what he did and receive it, whether it's like we did last week, laying on of hands, whether it's anointing with oil, which we did last week as well, whether it's taking communion, they all come down to one thing where healing is concerned, and that is discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak. Of course it's for this reason. If we don't discern the Lord's body, if we don't understand what Jesus did on the cross and before the cross, if we don't understand those things concerning healing, then are you going to have faith for healing? No. And if you don't have faith for healing, then you are under judgment or the curse, because that's the natural state of humanity. And so you are sick and weak, and many die prematurely. It's not complicated. Are you still here? So he was pointing out to one singular reason Christians become weak, sick, and die. Now he said, for this reason. So he said, not discerning the Lord's body for this reason. So the reason the Corinthians had become weak and sick and were dying was they were not discerning the Lord's body. It means that they did not know why they were partaking of the Lord's body or the Lord's supper when they came to take communion. And this was the reason they were not receiving the divine life that Jesus came to provide, causing them to be weak and sick and die prematurely. So, as we see all the other things in the body of Christ, it's all the same. If you don't know something, you don't know it, right? And what does Hosea 4:6 tell us? My people are destroyed or perish because of what? A lack of knowledge. So we talked about this last week. We talked about how, you know, if you go to a church and you know, we preach salvation every week. We just don't, I mean, we call for the lost every week. I don't think there's a week that goes by that we don't call for the lost and ask people to accept Jesus. But every message is not Jesus was crucified on a cross. There's a whole lot of things in the Bible. Now, any of them will get you saved, because once you have faith in Jesus, from any perspective, you can get born again. And there are churches that teach that 52 weeks a year, and that's great. And their people get saved. Why? Because faith comes by how? But now, one of those 52 weeks, do they talk about healing? So if you go ask one of those people, do you believe that by the blood of Jesus, you're saved? They're going to say what? Well, do you believe that by his beatings on his back and the things he did prior to crucifixion and during crucifixion, do you believe that you can be healed? Well, if it's God's will. Yeah. Well, I don't hear you say that when I ask you about salvation. Do you believe that Jesus' blood saved you? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus receiving those last, because by his stripes you were, not could be, were healed. So do you believe that? Well, if it's his will. Now, wait a minute. You didn't say if it was his will to save you. And this is all the same thing. So it's the same Jesus, the same blood, the same body, the same everything. So if it's his will to save you, and that's what it says, and it says it's will to heal you, then why do you question it? Because they're never taught, and so therefore there's no faith for it. So then you invoke Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed or perish for lack of knowledge. Therefore, if failure to discern the Lord's body during communion or any other time, but specifically we're talking about communion today, is the problem, then what would be the natural conclusion if you did discern the Lord's body? That you'd walk in health and wholeness, right? Now think about it. When Paul said, not discerning the Lord's body, for this reason many are weak and sick and many sleep, then it must be that when you do discern the Lord's body, that you'll be strong and healthy and live long lives. Now you would think that Christians would study this passage so that you could walk in divine health. And you say, well, Rocky, I get it, but you know, I'm still sick. Well, you know what? Even Jesus had to pray for somebody twice. So what does the Bible say? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, sometimes it's revelation. And sometimes revelation needs to be built up because, again, you've got to renew your mind. So if you've been taught one thing and then you start getting an understanding of something over here, but let's say this problem has been in your body for a long time. You've dealt with this problem for a long time. And you just start getting revelation of who you are in Christ. Now, there may be a miracle, but I'm not talking about miracles so much today as I am us standing in faith and receiving. So if I've been fighting this thing for a long time, but I start getting revelation of who I am, does that mean if I don't get healed today that I've done something wrong? No, it's just this stronghold has a, that's why they call them strongholds. Because it has a stronghold over you. And so we don't give up. We know the scripture very well. When you've done all to stand, stand. Because as long as you're standing, you're still fighting. And there's one thing you cannot do. You cannot lose your joy. Why not? Y'all tell me. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we lose our joy, we lose our strength. If we lose our strength, we cannot fight. If we cannot fight, we cannot win. So after Paul had singled out this thing, we need to figure out, okay, I get it. God has ordained communion, or what we call the Lord's Supper, to provide health and wholeness for his people. And the early church, they believed that. And that is why it says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They majored on the majors, that they made a big deal of the things that God made a big deal of. They took part in his word. It's no wonder that they experienced God's power. Acts 2:42 through 43. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came upon them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm going to go to verse 46 now. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and sincere hearts. And you know, I feel like the church of Jesus Christ, the church, we got a pretty good, you know, understanding of doctrine and the blood and fellowship, you know, and that's something that we as a church are working on, is the fellowship side. But I think so few people understand the significance of communion and what it really is. Because in most places, communion has been just whittled down to a religious tradition, a ritual. There's no power in it. But I do believe that in these last days, God wants to restore the true meaning and the power of communion to the church so that people will learn to rightly discern the body so that when they come to the table, and I believe that this in turn will cause us to become strong and healthy and live long lives. The Lord has made special provision for our health in many ways. As I said, He's provided more ways for us to receive healing than I could find any other way He did anything. And so it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that. And so it's one of my great passions, and those of you that know me, you know this. It is one of my great passions in life to see the body of Christ receive every single thing that our Savior suffered and died to give us. And I know that when God's people are correctly taught about healing and dispensing from the Lord's table, that health and wholeness will follow. It has to. And it will add years to our lives, and it will add lives to our years. Page 2, number 1 of your insert. When we recognize that Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, is God's provision or channel for health and wholeness for His people, and we teach the church to rightly discern the Lord's body, then when you come to His table, God's people will be healthy and strong and live long lives. There have been countless numbers of people around the world healed and delivered once they understood what communion was all about. I remember, oh gosh, this was 30 years ago, during the Believers' Convention in Fort Worth, Kenneth Copeland had satellite churches all around the world that were participating on this one night. And on this one night, it's estimated that more people took communion at the same time than any time in history. And the healings that broke out because of the power of that, it's what really got me interested. You know, I'd always taken communion, but I was like most people, you know, it's just you go to church and you take communion. It was really that service that got me interested in, wow, there's power in this. This isn't just some ritual we do. This is something that is living and breathing and active and has power in it. So that was kind of my aha moment. You ever had an aha moment? All right. That was kind of my aha moment. And so having established that communion is one of God's provisions or channels of health and wholeness for His people, it's time to find out how we experience that divine life that comes through discerning the Lord's body. Number 2 on your insert, whatever page we're on. Notice that Paul said it was not a failure to discern the blood, but a failure to discern the body that was causing people to be weak and sick. 1 Corinthians 11, 29-30, again, this time by the New King James. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So as we progress through this teaching, I need you to understand that there are two distinct parts of communion, and most of you know that. There's the wine or the juice, which represents the body of Jesus, which is for the forgiveness of sins. And then there is the bread, which represents Jesus' broken body, which is for our healing. Now, the Corinthians, like I think most Christians today, have no problem discerning the blood. You know, Paul makes it very clear that the blood of Jesus brings forgiveness of our sins. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, how? Through the blood and the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7 says the same thing, but just adds a little part at the end. In Him we have redemption through His blood for the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And I love that. According to the riches of His grace. What is His grace? Yeah, God's unmerited, undeserved favor. The riches. It never ends. His grace never ends. His favor upon us never ends. And because the Son of God paid the penalty for our sins with His blood, you can be free from sin when you put your trust in the blood to save you. So when you partake of the wine, you partake of the juice, know that you are forgiven and that you have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus has given you right standing. Say right standing.
Right standing.
It has made you righteous, if you will, before God, so that you can come boldly into His presence. And when you pray, you can be sure that He hears you. So that's how you discern the blood, and most Christians get that. Most Christians, you know, we've been so indoctrinated in it, we get that. We understand that part of it. And that's how you do that. But, you know, not many of us know how to discern the Lord's body. And to do that, we must first know what the body represents. Jesus established that the bread, which is the body, is for healing. How do I know that? Okay, there's a story in the Bible about a Syrophoenician woman, a Greek. And she's not a Jew. She's not part of Israel. She has no access to the covenant of Abraham. So she has no access to Jehovah God, really. But there's one thing that Jesus, God, could not deny ever. What is that?
Faith.
Faith. Wow, where do y'all go to church? Y'all been trained. God cannot deny faith. So what happens when the centurion, who was a Greek, what happens when the centurion comes up and says, you don't have to come to my house, just speak the word. Jesus turns around, we read that last week, Jesus turns around and says, I haven't found so much faith even in Israel. God cannot deny faith. So you get this woman that comes pestering Jesus because her daughter's demon-possessed. In Matthew 7, 26 through 28, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So, you know, I can see the you know, Dallas Morning News, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, you know, tomorrow. Preacher calls, well, a dog. Racist, whatever, you know. And but that was their culture. And so he's not being mean. He says right there that it's not for her. So he's got to get her to a point where he can't deny her. I'll say it again because you missed it. He tells us, see, once he died, then the covenant became available to all. At this point, it's not. It's only for the children of Abraham, which that is what we are right now, right? The New Testament says we are now the children of Abraham, right? So if you're in Christ, you're now the children of Abraham. So we know that the covenant is for us today, but it wasn't for her. And he says that specifically. And so I can't give the dogs what belongs to my people. He's not trying to insult her. He's trying to motivate her. Now listen to her response. Oh, here you go. So I say something and Noel gets offended. I never see him again. And he goes out and has, but what is it when you go to a Mexican restaurant? What do they have on the menu?
Pastor,
right? And so he goes out and has pastor for lunch, you know, telling everybody about how terrible this pastor guy is, right? And so he roasts me and he gets offended. Now, as long as he stays offended, he'll never receive from God. Because God can't get through that. So this lady does not get offended. It kicks her faith into gear. Listen to her answer. I love this. And she answered and she said to him, it's just saying, well, who do you think you are? She answered and she said to him, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Notice that when she asked Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter, he says, it's not, the children's bread is not for the little dogs. Now, bread, what does it refer to here? It refers to the healing that she's asking for. And what are the dogs? As we talked about, Jews, Gentiles. So Jesus was actually saying that healing was only for God's covenant people and not for Gentiles who were not yet included under the covenant. So having explained what Jesus meant, I should also go on to explain why I refer to bread as healing and not deliverance, because her daughter was, did her daughter have the flu?
No.
What did her daughter, what was the problem? She was demon possessed. Okay. So I need to explain why we're talking the way we're talking, because it's important. So we refer to bread as healing and not deliverance. And this is number three, and you need to get this part because it's important. Well, I hope it's all important, but you know. And this is because the Bible treats disease, depression, demon possession, anything that's not of God as the same thing, since they all originate from the devil. Acts 10:38, which we already read, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So notice that disease is due to the devil's oppression. Demon possession is due to the devil's oppression. You know, people that have all kinds of problems. Well, you know, people that have, you know, they're depressed, that they deal with depression. Is that of God? It's all part of Satan's oppression. So Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Doesn't matter what the oppression is of the devil. So disease is due to the devil's oppression. Thus, disease and depression and demon possession, as I said, are all the result of oppression by the devil, and we need God's healing for all of these problems. Let me say amen.
Amen.
So from this incident, it becomes clear that Jesus sees healing as the children's bread. The woman put her faith in that little crumb, and that act of faith released power to drive the demon out of her daughter. So the bread, even a small crumb, which is his body, is for healing, since you are now God's children and entitled to the healing bread. Number four. So what does it mean to discern the body? Well, I believe that when Jesus said in Matthew 26:26 to his disciples, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." I don't think he needed to explain one thing about what he was talking about, like I just explained to you. They knew that he wanted to impart to them his health, his life, his wholeness. These men were with him every day, and not once did they see him sick. Not once did they see him come down with the flu, a fever, or stomachache. Never did he turn to one of them and say, "Hey, man, you know, can you go preach the Sermon on the Mount today? Because I'm feeling so good." I don't recall reading that anywhere. He was never sick. More than that, he was vibrant. He was full of life. He was full of health. And when those who were without hands, those who were without feet, were brought to him, they were made perfectly whole. I'm continuing on page 3, number 1 now. The body parts they needed were imparted to them from the heavenly store when they touched him. And so it's no wonder Luke said in Luke 6:19 that the whole multitude, remember we read the verse last week that said when he went into cities, towns, and in the countryside, they would put sick people in the markets and beg to let them touch him so that they could be healed. Remember we read that? Well, look what Luke says here. And then the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and healed them. How many? Remember we read a verse last week that says Jesus Christ is what? The same. When? Yesterday, today, and when? Forever. So if he healed yesterday and he's the same, he heals today. And if he heals today and he's the same, he will heal tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the same. He does not change. So there is no need to tell the disciples at this point that what he said, when he said, "Take, eat, this is my body," that he was imparting his life, health, and wholeness to their bodies. They knew better than anyone else that taking the bread meant and ingesting it in their bodies meant. Number two. And so by now it should be clear that the blood and the body, they are two different things. They serve two different purposes, and that's consistent with the Bible. The prophet Isaiah said this in Isaiah 53:4. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." And we hear that like that all the time, and we say, okay. Well, so let's look at the Young's literal translation because it gives us a little more clarity to that. It says, "Surely our sicknesses have been borne, and our pains he hath carried them." In Matthew 8:17, he says, For he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, the word infirmities right there in the Greek is asthenia. It's in your notes. And it means bodily weaknesses. So he took our bodily weaknesses and our sicknesses. So we can see very clearly that Isaiah was saying that the Messiah would take upon his own body our weaknesses, our sicknesses, our pains. In other words, Jesus bore not just our sins, but also our bodily weaknesses, our sicknesses, and our pains. And this is what's referred to as a double cure. The double cure is evident in the Passover. And we went over this last week, but we didn't read it, so I want to read it this week. I want to read a couple of things out of here. So the Lord's Supper was first celebrated on the same night as the Passover. because it represented the true Passover. Luke 22:15-20. And he said to them, Jesus said to his disciples, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So what happened in the Old Testament is a shadow of what was to happen in the New Testament, which was the real substance. Jesus is the true and perfect, unblemished, what's he called? The Holy Lamb of God. So the Passover is a type of the Lord's Supper. So during the first Passover, which was when Israel was in slavery in Egypt, during the first Passover, they killed a lamb and they put the blood on the doorpost, right? And this caused the destroyer, the death angel, to pass over the families because God said in Exodus 12:13, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you. So the blood was for what? The people's forgiveness, right? So the blood covered the people's sins. It satisfied the righteous requirement of God, and the death angel passed over them. But at the same time, something was going on inside the house. So inside the house, it says in Exodus 12:8, that same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and unleavened bread, or bread made without yeast. So they ate the roasted lamb and the unleavened bread. And this was to give them strength for the journey. What journey are they about to take? Headed to the promised land. Wasn't supposed to take 40 years, but it took 40 years. And that's a story for another time. But it gave them strength for the journey. It was not natural strength that they received from the lamb that night. It was supernatural strength and healing. And that's why, according to Psalms 105:37, there was none feeble among them. It takes supernatural work, a supernatural work of God, for 2.5 to 3 million slaves to all be healthy, all be whole, all be well on the very same day, especially the way they were treated as slaves. I would call that a miracle. What would you call that? So we know that this lamb was a type and shadow of the real lamb, which is Jesus. So if the body of a shadow lamb could bring such supernatural results, how much more will the body of the true Lamb, Jesus, bring? So here again, the double cure. And here's how it works. The blood is the forgiveness of sins. The body and the bread were to drive health into their bodies. Number three in your insert. David described the double cure this way in Psalms 103:2-3. He says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. What's another word for iniquities? Sin. Yep. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. That's the double cure. So notice that his benefits include the forgiveness of our sins as well as healing our diseases. When Jesus took our punishment on the cross, it did not just bring forgiveness, it also brought us healing. And most Christians, when asked whether they're sure about forgiveness, they'll say, yeah, but when you ask them, are you sure about healing, they're not so sure. And I want you to know that at the cross, Jesus bore our sins and our sicknesses. And so, get this, healing, like forgiveness, is not just a promise. It is the blood-bought right of every Christian. So because of what he did at the cross, we do not just have forgiveness, we have healing. Forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. The faith that you have for forgiveness is the same faith that will bring you healing. I want to say that again because it's the same faith. The faith that you have for forgiveness is the same faith that will bring you healing. Forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. See, the faith that you have for forgiveness is the same thing. It'll bring your healing. God has made it easy for his people to walk in divine health. He's given us so many ways. If you can't get it one way, there's another way and another way and another way. And we just need to come to his table, put our faith in his broken body for our healing, and partake. It is that simple, yet it is so powerful. Number four. That is why the devil has tried, I believe, so hard to steal the truth from the church by making Christians believe that they should not partake. And he does this by he wants you to feel unworthy. And it's a misinterpretation of 1 Corinthians 11:27-30. All you got to do to receive communion is to be born again. That's it. You don't need to belong to this church or that church. You have to be born again. So let's read this again. We've read it already. Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 11:27-30. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of God. So there are two unworthy manners that I can think of. One is you're not born again, and therefore you are not worthy. Second is you have no faith. You don't believe what you're doing. And we know, again, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let the man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What's that saying? Don't make a big deal out of it. Examine yourself. Are you saved? Do you have faith in Jesus? You qualify. That's it. But see, Satan will try to convince you, well, you have sin in your life, you have this, you have that, and he'll try to convince you of that. Let's keep reading. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. What's the other part say? Not discerning the Lord's body. Now, does it say there that God's going to put judgment on you? Why not? God has no judgment to give you because all of the judgment was satisfied on the cross. But if you're not born again, we live in a world that has fallen. And the judgment is already there. So read it for what it says. So he talks about examine yourself. You're born again, do you have faith? You're good. But if you happen to do it in an unworthy manner, well, you're bringing judgment on yourself. Because you're playing religious, Satan will come on you and bring condemnation and worry and stress and strife because he will use it against you. But all you got to say is, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm saved and I have faith in Jesus. I qualify. And so for this reason, many are sick and weak and many sleep. Of course they do. Because what does Satan want to do? He wants you to live in condemnation because condemnation will be worry. And worry will bring sickness. Even our medical professionals tell us that. Do you really see how simple the Bible is? In this passage, Paul is not saying that if you have sinned, you cannot partake. He was telling us to partake in the correct manner, which is to recognize that the Lord's body was broken so that ours could be made whole. And now please don't, you know, misunderstand me. I'm against sin, but Paul's not teaching about sin here. That is not what he's talking about. What Paul told, I mean, go read the whole thing. He's not speaking in the context of sin here. Page 4, number 1. Paul told the Corinthians to do, to discern the power and the Lord's broken body. He was teaching us that when we fail to discern the body, we should not partake because we're not claiming by faith what Jesus did on the cross. Born again, believe in Jesus. That's the only qualifications. Any church that tries to make it more complicated than that, they're not reading their Bible. Because that's the qualification to take communion with all of the blessings and the benefits that go with it if we have faith for that. So by failing to do so, though, we're making his work on the cross ineffective, and we do it ourselves. So Jesus wants us to take bread and believe that his body was broken so that our bodies could be made well. And when we discern it in that way, we're partaking worthily. So when you come to his table and release your faith in the Lord's body, you'll receive the benefits of health, healing, and wholeness. And you'll be strong and healthy and live. As long as we're here on earth, our bodies are subject to the aging process. Anyone ever notice that? Which is part of the divine sentence. All of our bodies are decaying every day. Communion is God's solution for us to offset the decay. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to age. But let me give you an example. And look, I'm not bragging. I understand these things. Now, does that mean I never get sick? No, I deal with things all the time. You know, people want to think preachers are perfect. I don't know about the preachers you've known in the past, but this one's not perfect. Last time I checked, I was a man, and I deal with every problem you deal with. And I've had 2 kidney stones in my life, and they are terrible. And see, sometimes things happen in your body. Sometimes things happen, you don't know they're happening, and they come up and they slap you. So what do? You just lay down and give up? What does the Bible say? Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Where y'all go to church? So, you know, life is going to happen. You know, I've got spots on my face now. You know, I'm 61 now, and I have spots on my face. My hair's not near as thick as it used to be. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to even, you know, keep it what I got. But all those are superficial things. How am I on the inside? You know, my doctor, last time I went for a physical, he asked me, said, you have had a colonoscopy lately? I said, yeah, it was about a year before. He said, well, what'd they find? I said, nothing. He said, at that point, I think I was 58. He said, nothing? I said, nothing. He said, you had to have something. I said, nothing. He's like, cool. And so he did all his tests and stuff, and he said, you're just going to live forever. I was like, amen, brother. So a few months ago, I had a physical. I'm 61 now, like I said, and I had a physical, you know, because, well, first of all, I went and got a body scan. And, I mean, they scanned me from top to bottom with this fancy kind of stuff, and it's looking for little microscopic cancers and, you know, things that you couldn't see on an X-ray and all this stuff, and there's nothing in there. And so then I had a physical. And so on this physical, you know, they did blood, urine, and all that stuff. So they did 29 different tests. And so if it's green on here, you're good. If it's yellow, you ought to start thinking about it. If it's black, well, red, you need to go see the doctor about it, right? So there's nothing on here but green. Now, why do I say that? I've been practicing this a long time. I've been confessing God's word about health and wholeness in my body a long time. Now, does that mean I never get knocked down? No. But it means that on a day-to-day basis, I believe in God for health and wholeness. It means that when something does happen, I know how to come back against it. But I've been doing this a long time. Now, maybe you haven't been doing it a long time. That's where the mercy of God comes in. Because what happens is, once you know something, you're accountable for it. And that's the problem about going to church that actually teaches God's word, because once you hear it, you're accountable for it. So I don't mind being accountable for it, because it allows me to live a life in my business, a certain type of prosperity. In my body, a certain type of health. In my life, a certain type of peace. And so, am I accountable to all those things? Yes, absolutely. But what I'm telling you is that the Word of God provides things for us that gives us peace and joy and a sound mind, helps us to understand what's happening in our bodies when things start changing, and that even though those things may change and you may age, doesn't mean you have to die from a sickness. You might, and if you do, you do. But it was like this COVID thing. I never wore a mask. In my office, we didn't wear a mask. I never wore a mask. And I'm not trying to be you know, I say I never wore masks. That's not true. If I went into a Walmart, I wore a mask. I wear a mask today if I go into Walmart. But you know, the point is, you try to be smart, but I'm not going to run from something that's not chasing me. Because what does this whole thing do? It drives fear. And what does fear do? Fear causes your body to be susceptible to things that it normally would not be susceptible of if you weren't in fear, because it puts stress on you, and stress weakens your immune system. So, you know, this church, we closed for 6 weeks. When, you know, the governor said, you got to close, we closed. Of course, we were here doing live broadcasts. But the moment he said you can open, we were open. Now, we wore masks and we did what he told us to do. And, you know, we followed the law. But my point is this. There is a way to live that is so much better than what the world has to offer you. Because there is so much advantage to walking in peace and walking in joy and not living in stress. You know, I have two jobs. You know, I run my own business and I pastor this church. And you know, it's a lot. And I'll be honest, it was easier at 50 than it is at 60. I will be honest about that. But I ain't done yet. Communion is God's solution to offset the decay. And one day when we get to heaven, yeah, we're going to have new bodies, and they won't grow old, and they won't get tired, and they won't look bad. Meanwhile, the Lord's Supper is how God helps us to offset the process of aging and walk in divine health. Every time you partake, you are reversing the effects of the curse or the divine judgment that is on your body because of this world we live in. Number 2 on page 4. So after everything we have been through this morning, if you still find it hard to believe that eating a small piece of bread can bring your body health and wholeness, let me point you back to the Garden of Eden. Because there Adam merely ate a fruit, and he plunged the entire human race into sin. And his sin was what brought disease and ultimately death in the first place. So God, in his mercy and in his wisdom, he devised a perfect solution. Since the simple act of eating by Adam brought disease and death, he ordained that the simple act of partaking of the bread, which represents the body of his son, will bring health and wholeness to his people. So what you get out of this morning is up to you. You can walk away with nothing, or you can walk away with a lot. It's up to you. You can receive healing and deliverance this morning or not. It's your choice. So now it's time to partake of the Lord's Supper and release faith for the forgiveness of sins and for healing. But before we partake, just if you don't have the communion cup, it's got the wafer on the top and the juice. If you don't have one of those, raise a hand. Let's make sure every person has one. Everyone have one? Okay, so it looks like we're all good. Okay, so I want you to understand 3 John 1, or 3 John 2. So John at this point is an old man. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He is thought to be the only living apostle at this point. So he's been doing this a long time. And he writes 3 John. And in there he says, "Beloved, I wish that you would prosper in all things and be in health." So prosper in every area of your life and be in health, even as your soul, mind, will, and emotions prosper. So he covers everything. He covers your physical needs. He covers your health in your body. And he covers your mental state. And that is his major prayer. You notice it doesn't say, "I pray above all things that you get saved." Well, he's writing to the church, so you think, well, that's obvious. But that's not his, because if your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are all messed up, is it easy to believe the Word of God or hard? It's hard. If your body is ravaged with sickness and pain, is it easy or hard to believe the Word of God? It's hard. You know, when I'm laying there with those kidney stones, I am not thinking about, oh Lord, you know, I'm saying, oh Lord Jesus, but it's like, you know, it's you got to have it all inside of you by then, because if it's not inside of you by then, it's not going to be coming out of you. All right. So that's what he says. He says, I wish or I pray above all things that you'd prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, we're going to do this morning. We're going to take our time. It's going to be on the screen. It's on the back of your note page. I'm not going to rush through this last part. And we're going to do the offering announcements later. But I don't want to rush through this. Because, again, this is not a ritual. This is not some religious ritual. This will give you, if you want it, an encounter with God. And so, just, can we, you guys, it is on the back of your note page for you to use at home if you want to take, and some of you, if you've got sickness in your body, take communion every day. Look at the back, the last page of this and go through it. Take communion every day. Just, again, don't let it be a ritual. You do it in faith. And do it like you would do some medicine or something. And just get the word inside. Put the communion inside. Just let it eat away at whatever that pain is or that disease is. And just let it chew it up and get rid of it for you. So let's pull the lights down some. I don't want them off, but let's pull the lights down some. And I guess the Holy Spirit just reminded me, you know, we just talked about you got to take communion in an appropriate way. So before we actually get to it, I do need to do this. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, let's go ahead and pull the lights down a little bit, please. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, or you say, Pastor, I am a Christian, but man, I don't, you know, I just use Zima as a get out of hell free card. You know, I don't do any of this. Well, you know, this is not the way to live. You need to just rededicate your life to Him and let's get serious and get on with it. So if you're watching or listening, this applies to you as well, and I hope you've got the things you need to take communion with us. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, or you need to rededicate your life or your heart to Him this morning and say, I want everything God has for me. I want to be right with Him. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. Just lift a hand. There's nobody looking at you. Just lift a hand and acknowledge. Thank you very much. And let's all just pray this prayer together and make sure we're all on the same page. So as we move into communion, we are all in a place where we take it in a rightful way. Father, just repeat after me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you and I receive what Jesus did for me on Calvary. Jesus, what you went through is beyond anything I can imagine. But I thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to be beaten for me, to suffer in hell for me. I thank you that because of you, I can be righteous and pure in your Father's sight through your blood. And I can walk in health and wholeness through what you took on your body. I receive it. You are my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Okay. So now, just keep your eyes closed for a minute. Because I want you to personally experience afresh His love for you. So just, if you can, just clear your mind for just a minute. Just let your mind kind of go blank. And just listen. Listen to Him say to you, take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. See His eyes burning with love as He says to you, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. See the Lord on the cross, taking, absorbing, and carrying all your sins and diseases. He took your sins in His body on the cross. See Him taking on His physical body your condition medically as well. You know, when all of the sin, the Bible says he became sin. When all of the sin of the world was put upon him, when all the diseases of the world were put upon him, he cried out in anguish, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the only time ever Jesus referred to God as God and not Father. Because at that moment, he wasn't his dad anymore, because God turned his back on him. Because God cannot look at sin, which made it possible for us to be righteous so that God could look at us. So receive what Jesus did for you today. Now I want you to open your eyes and I want you to look at the screens, because I want you to see this verse with your eyes. It says in Isaiah 52:14, but many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. That's how distorted and beaten. But if you took every sin and every sickness of human beings on your own physical body, your body would be just a lump of flesh. And that's what they said. They said they could hardly tell from his appearance. You would scarcely know that he was a man. All the beatings, the crown of thorns, the crucifixion, all of it was for us. And if you've got a tumor, if you've got something in your life that is painful, you've got something in your life that is just hurting you, and that could be physical, but that could also be emotional. You know, somebody's hurt you. You've got unforgiveness in your life that you need to get rid of and you need to let it go. You've got things in your life that you need, habits and addictions that just make you feel condemned, and they don't need to. Let it go. He took it all for you. Whatever disease or oppression or habit or addiction you might have, see it on his body. It no longer belongs to you. See his health and his wholeness in every aspect of life come upon you. This is the great exchange that took place at the cross. Surely he bore our sins and he carried our diseases. So as you partake, release your faith in the bread and in the juice. Now, if you are looking at your note page, we're on the bottom of page 4, and it says this. The bottom line is this. The blood was for the forgiveness of sins. The body was basically destroyed, which is what we just read, so that we could walk in health and wholeness in every area of life. All he asks is that we put our faith in what he did on the cross for us. Now, the words are going to be on the screen. The words are on your note page. I don't want you to read them with me. I want to go slow. I want to go through it. So I'm going to read them, and I want you to repeat them after me, please. But you have them if you want to take them home and you want to continue doing communion as often as you need to. So hold the bread in your hand, if you would, and say this after me. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing and my family's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you took on your body, by the lashes which fell on your back, I am completely healed. I am completely whole. I am completely delivered. I believe it. I receive it now in your name, Lord Jesus. As I eat this bread, wholeness and health flows through my body, and I will walk in divine health. In Jesus' name, please eat with me. Now receive what he did for you. Let the healing virtue of God just flow all through you. Let his wholeness flow through you. Take the juice in your hand. Repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant paid for by your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed away every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. As I drink, I celebrate and partake of my inheritance. As a born-again Christian, which is forgiveness, preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. I believe it, and I receive it now. So, Lord Jesus, as I drink, I do receive everything that you provided for me on Calvary. Let's drink. Repeat, thank you, Jesus. I love you because you first loved me. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak health, wholeness, and healing over every person in this place today. I thank you that as we just took communion, that the wholeness of God, the redemptive power of God, the forgiveness of God, the health of God, the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God flows through this place and through these people. I thank you that no weapon formed against us prospers, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And our testimony agrees with what your word says. So we walk in what you have provided for us. It's in your Son's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that blessing, or I pray that teaching was a blessing to you. We haven't taken a whole service to do communion in probably 3 or 4 years, so I hope there was some insight. And well, say, don't feel any different. Don't walk by what you feel. Just believe that you receive. You never know. You may go to bed tonight and wake up in the morning and go, oh my. Keep an attitude of expectancy. Expect what you did just now not to be some religious tradition, but to be a fact of how we live. And walk in divine health because it belongs to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, in 1 Kings 1841, we do the offering. Then it says that Elijah said to Ahab. Ahab was the king. Elijah was the prophet. Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. I'll get back to that in a minute. There's somebody here, and the Holy Spirit is just you feel it, and I feel it. But it's not like a certain sickness or disease or even depression. It's just something that is on you. Might be unforgiveness. I'm not sure. Maybe not. There's something that is on you, and the Holy Spirit is just, and you're wondering, can I really be free? Can that really go away? Can communion really do that? The answer is yes. But if the Holy Spirit is just dealing with you right now, that there is something that you know you can be free of, raise your hand. Now raise your hand. Don't, okay. Because he wants to deal with this right now. I was ready to move on, but he's not. When I read that verse, it's for the offering, but I want to read it again. Well, let me do part of the offering and I'll come back to this. Elijah the prophet said to the king, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So in 1 Kings 18, the Samaritans had been without, they've been in a great famine. It had 3.5 years since there was any rain. The prophet shows up and he tells King Ahab, "I hear the sound of an abundance of rain." And that's what I'm hearing right now over you. And when he said that, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Yet he chose to believe what he heard in the spirit in spite of what he saw in the natural. With his eyes, he saw drought and famine and barrenness. But inside, he heard the sound of an abundance of rain. Some of you on the outside, it's like, I can't ever be free from this. But the inside, all of a sudden, you're starting to feel an abundance of rain. You're starting to feel the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, it's time. You can be free. I'll ask again, if that's you, raise your hand. If it's time to let that thing go, raise your hand. There's an abundance of rain. Look, the only person that's going to judge you is Satan trying to condemn you that you don't want to do that. You don't want to raise your hand. You don't want people to know anything about you. There's an abundance of rain. The prophet said, go ahead and go get something to eat. It's coming. There's an abundance of rain. Nope, there's not a cloud in the sky. Nope, there's nothing up there. It doesn't matter. Inside, I hear God saying, it's time. If that's you, just lift a hand. An abundance of rain. An abundance of rain. I'm just going to come to you today. I'm not going to have people come down for prayer today. An abundance of rain. Freedom. An abundance of rain. Y'all don't know me and I don't know you. But I tell you what I do know is my Jesus. An abundance of rain. You don't have to carry that. It's not meant for you to carry that. Leave it at the cross right now. Just let it go. You may not see anything on the horizon, but inside you know it's time. Let it go in Jesus' name. Let it go in Jesus' name. An abundance of rain. An abundance of rain. Anybody else? A freedom like you've never known. An abundance of rain. In Jesus' name. An abundance like you've never even imagined. A freedom that'll set you free, lady. In Jesus' name. See, this is what faith is all about. You got to believe what you hear in your heart, even when you see the opposite. God is saying there's about to be an abundance of rain in your life. If you have been sowing, the drought is coming to an end. You're about to not only see an extraordinary healing, a restoration, but you're going to see new opportunities and new growth. You're going to experience abundance and restoration in Jesus' name. And soon after Elijah spoke those words, the rainstorm came. And just like Elijah, you have got to believe that your rainstorm of blessing It's just right there. It's around the corner. It is there. It is yours. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what happens. You just got to keep believing. You got to keep declaring, because soon you're going to hear an abundance of rain. The sound of restoration is yours in Jesus' name. It's a different offering. But Father, I do thank you for an abundance of rain in every area of our lives, including the financial areas. And Father, I thank you that as we give this morning and sow into the kingdom of God, I pray that you would give us wisdom on how to use the funds appropriately and manage what we have. But I pray, Lord God, that the blessings of God would come on these people, so that they could receive, so they could give, so they could receive, so they could give and exercise your system of seed time and harvest. I love it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, I want to very quickly go through some announcements, and I'm going to cut the broadcast off. If you go ahead and get the bulletin on the screen for me for a minute. Obviously, we've been celebrating Memorial Day. Upcoming events. This Friday night, we have worship and prayer here in the building at 7 o'clock in the evening. Friday evening, 7 o'clock, building will open about 6:45. Youth camp is coming up in 2 weeks. Wow. You guys ready? All right, so you're going as a counselor this year, right? A leader? Yeah. Cool. You get to go to the classes and stuff this year, right? Have you done that before?
No, I didn't get to.
So this is, we were closed last. So this will be your first. Good. That's good for you. A new sermon series will begin next week. Positioning yourself to receive God's best. You know, God brings opportunities every day. Are you going to see them? Are you going to take them? Are you going to go after them? Are you going to lock on to them? Are you going to go after everything God has for you? It's your call, but I'm going to show you how to do that. And that's what I just get off teaching on that. That is so good. Kids for the Nations is coming up in about 3 or 4 weeks. And if you don't sign your children up for KFN, Kids for the Nations, ages 5 to 12, we can't go. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. I need you to sign up today, if you would. It is paid for, that's right. The people in the church gave the money to pay for every child to go to camp. So for Kids for the Nations, please go ahead and sign them up as well. So with that, I got a couple of things I need to talk to our church family about for a little bit. Not that you're not our church family out there, but some things that affect here in the physical building. So with that, let's go ahead and cut the broadcast. Love you. Enjoy your week. Have a great week and a good Memorial Day tomorrow. Yes.